Hey everyone, welcome back. This is We Watch Stuff number 84. After a week off, I'm Jeremy. Shahid is on the other end. Good week, sir. What's going on?
Happy New Year to everybody. Yes, we took a week off because one of us got hit with a sickness.
Yes, and not hungover. I was actually legit. I was sick on my week off. Do you understand how annoying that is?
Yes, I do understand.
They give you sick days, and if you don't use them, you don't get paid for them as well, which is just the worst. Because if you use them, they give you shit for it. So if someone from my work's listening, they know I'm right. But, I take the end of the year off every year. Just, you know, do the old mental and physical recharge or whatever. And it's 2 years in a row now I've gotten sick. Really, really frustrating. But anyways, no one cares about that. We didn't really miss too much, though. We talked about Rogue One on the last show, and then it's been kind of a, I don't know, not a dead zone, but not a whole lot of stuff really happens, I guess, you know, on purpose, really.
It just depends on what your plans are. People have their resolutions that they hold on to, maybe, I don't know, they probably got about 3 more days before they drop them.
Well, what's funny, it's funny you mentioned that, because my wife was at the place she works out at, and it was just, you know, it's your usual thing at the gym, where it's just, you know, first of the year, just outrageous packed. And she was talking to one of the trainers, and he said, and somebody else told me this today, too, verify, between January 1st and February 13th are the busiest days for gyms all year.
Yeah.
And I didn't know this. And then, you know, Valentine's Day is the 14th. And then February 15th is the biggest day for fast food sales in the of the year.
Yes. That makes sense. That makes absolute sense.
Okay, I can see, like, the Valentine's Day thing, but why the... Oh, I guess because people have been depriving themselves for so long.
Ugh. Yep. Yeah. It's amazing. Like, the majority of gyms make their money from memberships from people who never use them or use them, like, a month out of the year. And it's around this time because people jump in and they have a lot of, you know, fire and blah, 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 but they don't have a plan and they do way too much, way too fast. And they realize that, you know, this working out crap is, it's not fun. And what am I doing it for? Like, you know, it's a reason I'm this shape and I'm not going to die. So most people tend to, like, most people who keep their gym memberships who, like, really work out, either like athletes, they're doing it for health reasons or they're doing it for vanity reasons.
What's the best reason?
Whatever reason.
I guess health, but
whatever reason keeps you there, I would say, like, because if vanity keeps you in shape, then vanity works for you. Like, I know a lot of people who, like, because you have to understand, if people said, oh, you know, you'd be healthy, your blood pressure, yada, 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 but your body wouldn't change and nobody would know, how many people you think will work out?
Yeah, well, that's...
Like people don't brag. People brag about being shaped. People don't brag about being strong. Strong people are just strong. Like, you ever think about, like, I saw, it's funny, like, that video went up of Ric Flair deadlifting 400 pounds in the 60s. I know Ric Flair was in shape at his, like, his peak age, but he's an old, like, him walking around, you wouldn't think he'd be able to do that. And I tell people, like, old man strength is a thing. Like, just because you have a big body doesn't mean that you're in shape and vice versa.
Yeah, he's, like, 67.
Yeah, like Bruno Sammartino is running around, and Bob Backlund probably in better shape than half the people that are, like, in WWE right now. But, you know, it's like, so it's whatever. Like, I work out for health. I like doing, like, fitness things and for vanity. Like, it's all three for me.
Yeah, that's, yeah, it's all three. Health especially, but vanity, because, you know, I'm... Since I'm a model, I have to keep this physique going. But no, it's, for me, it's more like, well, if I want to keep living the lifestyle I do, to look like this, I need to work out as hard as I possibly can. So, yeah.
Like, when you're big, it's kind of like you're working out to offset the fact of being big can be a pain in the ass the order you get. And we're both in that same boat because, yeah, I've been small and I've been big. And even though, like, when I went to the doctor and all my health stuff was fine, carrying around all that weight's not fun.
No.
Especially if you have no reason to. Like, I'm not There's no reason for me to look like an NFL linebacker. I'm a pharmacist, and I'm closer to 40 than 30. So, yeah, I'd rather be smaller and be stronger. So I've actually been on my resolution. I've dropped 8 pounds so far, and I haven't really done anything drastic. I just kind of cut down sugar, bread, and dairy products. Like, that's it.
That's funny, because for me, like, well, I ate sandwiches this week. Like, I don't go out of my way. Like, the wife, she loves bread. I swear to God, if she knew how to bake bread, she wouldn't even slice it. Just take big bites out of it and carry it around with her. I know she's listening, but like, bread and that doesn't bother me at all. Mine are just my big vice are just potato chips and, well, beer, but yeah, whatever. But it's funny, it's harder to give up potato chips than it is drinking. Like, I gave up drinking for like a month and a half over the summer. One, just to see if I could do it, and then two, because we needed to. But I have the damnedest time with salty food. But
it's tough. Like, for me, I don't deprive myself. I just eat more food and less, like, food stuffs. Like, when I want a snack, I'll eat an apple with some peanut butter. And I actually enjoy peanut butter and apples. So it's not like, oh, I don't try to that whole, I'm going to eat kale. And I'm not going to buy crap that I have to force myself to eat. That people set themselves up for failure. Like, I'm going to eat Kenya instead of rice, or I'm going to eat a kale shake. Like, if you never ate kale before and you don't like kale, what the hell are you doing?
Okay, I had tried kale for a while, and it ruined my stomach, so I finally just had to stop. But I don't understand how people enjoy that stuff. I don't like cooked greens anyways. I don't like the texture of it, and I just I don't like it. So I can't cook kale. I slice it up and mix it with, like, iceberg lettuce, fine. And I know this is enthralling talk, everyone, but I don't understand at all why someone enjoys kale. I can't wrap my head around it.
They put it in their shakes.
I tried that too, and
some people, yeah.
Ugh. I think some Kevin
people say, "Oh, I know people say, oh, you don't taste it at all." Yes, you do.
Yes, you do. Because I don't know what kind of dead taste buds you have.
Yeah. I don't care. Unless you wrap it up in a cheeseburger with some cheese on top, you're going to taste kale. Like, kale has a strong taste. So, no, like, I've still been using fats and stuff. I've just been keeping away from sugar for the most, like, any added sugar. And that's really about it. Eat like 3 meals a day. If I work out, do a 3 meals in a protein shake or 2 meals in a protein shake. And everything else has been fine. Like, I haven't been craving anything, or like, I got to eat a donut or something. Like, I had maybe half a cookie one day, and it was fine, and that just kept it moving. And I haven't really been trying to, like, lose weight, but it's just been dropping off. The workouts have just been, I've been doing the, you know, workout for 20 seconds, rest 10 seconds, repeat 8 times, 4 exercises. So basically you knock everything out 25 minutes if you don't die first.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like being finished working out after a half hour. Getting through those workouts it's the difference between, like, lifting weights and, like, moving fast.
Yeah. And that's what we've been doing. Like, we finished out doing, like, a strength program, and now we're doing a lot of mobility stuff, so a lot of moving stuff fast. And I don't get sick often. You know, I just complained how I got sick twice, but it was a year apart. I forget, or take for granted, how much I breathe out of my nose. Because when you're lifting, and, I mean, for me, I keep my mouth shut and breathe out of the nose. That is a bitch to do. It's a bitch to breathe out of your mouth, breathe in and out of your mouth when you're lifting. And, you know, instinctually just go through, and it made regular weights feel like, I don't know, triple. Because it's like, cardio is just not there. It sucks. And I know I should, you know, I did rest up last week. Tried burning out, didn't work, but... Which, is that a myth, by the way?
What's that?
If you have a cold, like, I've heard you starve a cold, right? Starve a cold, feed the flu, and if you exercise, you can burn it out. And I'm like, I don't think that's true.
Yeah, I tell people, like, trust your body. If you feel like you can do it, then go ahead, but rest never hurt anybody. Like, it's the whole thing is kind of like, it's viruses. So, you know, the body kind of takes care of itself when it comes to viral infections, for the most part anyway, it's not really a lot of stuff you can do with those. So it's kind of like, relax. Let time pass and let the body was supposed to do. If you still have energy, then go ahead. If not, then skipping a few days from the gym will not set you back. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, if I miss a day, I'm gonna become fat again. What's his name? Ben Stiller's character from Dodgeball.
Oh yeah, him. I know who you're. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, like they got White Goodman syndrome. Like if I eat one chip, I'm gonna gain 100 pounds and just go back to eating chips every day for the rest of my life. Like that's not how it works. Like you didn't get big overnight, and you're not gonna get small overnight. It's a gradual process.
Yeah, a couple weeks, yes, but anyways, all right. What were we gonna talk about again? I totally forgot.
We were going to talk about, basically, since it's the new year, which movies we enjoyed the most and least, or what we saw and what stuff we're looking forward to. But first, speaking of that, I can start off with one of the movies I probably enjoyed the least in a long time that I happened to see. Because me and my wife went to see Collateral Beauty.
Oh. Yeah.
It wasn't even the fact that it was bad, because bad's not the word I'd use to describe it. Psychotic would be the word I would describe it. Like
I heard nothing good about that movie.
Whoever wrote that script for a holiday movie is a madman, is all I have to say. Like, I'm watching this and it's funny. Like, it's a theater maybe of 10-12 people in the theater because they've been out for a while, and we're watching it and I'm just sitting the whole time like, who thought this was a good idea? Like, the actors are doing the best they can with this garbage script. I felt so bad for Will Smith, and especially finding out that during the time when they were making the movie is when his dad was sick and passed away.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So, yeah, I found that out after. So, like, sad, losing his mind, Will Smith, is bad enough. But, okay, spoiler alert for the movie. He's a guy, you know, he's like an ad exec, head of this company. His daughter dies from, like, some form of cancer. He can't get out of it. Like, you know, 2 years pass. He can't move on. The company's struggling. His partners want to sell. And his partners, Kate Winslet, Edward Norton, Michael Pena. But he has control of interest. And so it's kind of like they're trying to break him out of his rut. He's just going to work, setting up dominoes, knocking the dominoes, not talking to anybody, anything like that. So their plan is to hire a private investigator to follow him, and finds out that he's writing letters to the personification of love, death, and time. So they hire 3 actors to be those people, and eventually leads to a plan of have them follow him around so he can talk to them, and then digitally erase them from these recordings, take them to the board to show that he's insane so they can have control of the company to sell it. And these are his best friends that are doing this.
What? Okay.
Let's think about that. Like,
why was this supposed to be Oscar bait? Was this what this was going for?
I don't know what it was going for, because the thing is, and it's funny. Like, I think I was the only person in the theater that did not cry because I was so angry at the movie. Like, everybody in the theater, and I'm talking about grown men. Like, I went to the bathroom. This guy was like, did you start crying? He's like, I admit I was bawling at the end. Like, the movie is a sad ass movie. It was emotional. I was more pissed than, like, I felt bad for Will Smith. Like, what type of friends is this? Because it's, you know, I know you got to move on with your lives and you got to take care of yourselves and everything, but they basically commit mail fraud. Then they try to, like, their idea is to make their best friend that's grieving over his dead daughter look insane, and then they get away with it at the end. Like, it's no consequence. Like, what kind of psychotic nonsense is this? And and it's twist in the movie. Like, the actors that they hire end up being the real personification of love, death, and time, and this grief counselor that he sees every now and then, talks to, ends up being his wife. But you don't find out until the end of the movie, like the very end.
What? You know what?
Yeah,
whatever. It's one of those, fuck ever?
Because they, you know, it's like, because she's talking about, you know, I lost my daughter and I got divorced from my husband. And the last thing we said is, you know, I wish we could be strangers again. And She talks about her daughter in the name. Whenever she asks him what's his daughter's name, he never says it. He stops talking and everything. You're just wondering, like, what's going on? But it doesn't click until the end when they have the last conversation. And she puts on a video of his, you know, of her daughter with, you know, it's her daughter and daddy. And then you see the video, and it's the video from the beginning, and it's the daughter and Will Smith. And then you realize, oh, they were married and divorced. And they were trying to do this as kind of like counseling.
Like that movie sounds awful. That sounds like a terrible movie.
usually
make a movie.
Oh,
like you usually make movies sound really good. You really do. That one, I don't know if you're not even trying or if it was just that bad, but that sounds horrible.
It was evil and it was manipulative. Like, it's basically a Lifetime movie with way better acting than it need to be. Because you're talking about Will Smith, Helen Mirren, Keira Knightley, Kate Winslet, Edwin, like, up and down the cast of, like, actors who know how to act, and they're doing the best, but the story and the script, and they're like, who thought this was a good idea? Like, I don't know, because I saw the previews, and I saw the trailers, and I had no idea what the movie was about, and then I read a description of the movie, and I'm like, there's no way in hell I'm watching, like, this sounds insane. But here I go. Like, we saw it anyway. So yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. See, that didn't even look like something I wanted to see. And hearing this, no, even better. I'm glad I didn't. But Will Smith, he had one big movie at least. I don't know how much of that had to do with him or not. But he hasn't had a whole lot of success lately.
He hasn't had the success that he used to have. Like, Focus did okay. Suicide Squad, like, he was the big name in that. And that movie, for whatever people said, made a whole lot of money. Like, it was close, like, $700 million plus for a movie that... Yeah, for a movie that no one's talking about. Oh, I don't know who's going to see this. Like, well, people saw it because it was in the movie theater for a while. And it was, like, top 10 in, you know, gross this year. I think, like, either 7 or 8.
I'm looking at Box Office Mojo, and they're only given domestic, but it was number 9 this year, $325 million over here. So
yeah, I don't think it was released in China because it was something with witchcraft or something or some nonsense like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's kind of like he was very good in the movie. The movie was just a bad. It was one of those you have good actors doing good things in a horrible movie. And it's funny because it was basically like the reverse of, we had saw Fences before that, and Fences was like just a simple story that was made great from the actors
what
involved.
The hell was that movie about?
Oh,
other than, hey, look, you know Denzel Washington, go see our movie.
Oh, it's this guy in the 50s mad at the world, like, you know, he didn't play baseball because he was black, and like black people couldn't play baseball back then, and then he ended up going to jail for manslaughter. By the time he gets out, he's too old, so he's like a trash man in his 50s, basically, like, you know, I'm stuck in the same place that I've been for 20 years and I'm trying to figure out life. And Viola Davis is his wife, and he has a son that wants to play football, and he's like, they're not gonna let you play, and yada yada yada. Like, it's funny because it's hard to describe the movie besides like black people dealing with black things in the 50s in Pittsburgh. Like, it's kind of one of those things, like, you have to see the movie.
Well, see, I think that's a better description of what I see on TV, though. Like, and honestly, and I know that there's a certain joy in that, like, not knowing what you're getting into, but I had not even the vaguest idea of what that movie was.
Yeah, it's based off a play. It's hard.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Like, it's a play that they made in a movie. And it's kind of hard. Like, basically, like, you like Denzel Washington, you want to see angry, mad at the world Denzel Washington, no, and Viola Davis cry, like, then see it. If not, then don't. Like, it's the whole thing is like, Denzel's awesome in the movie, but he, you know what? He's hateable, like, very hateable, but you can understand why he is the way he is. Like, it's very resonating. Like, especially for, like, if you basically been through that life or know what people go through. Viola Davis acted her ass off. Like, if she does not win the Oscar for supporting actress, then nobody should win.
So, like, she's not in it enough for the main one?
No, she just decided to do supporting. Basically, so she go. Basically, I figured like it's funny because she won a Tony Award for leading actress when she did the play for the same thing.
Oh, that's cheating.
So I think it was part of it, kind of like the leading actress is kind of loaded, and she probably and they decide like I want to get my Oscar and just blot all these supporting actresses, which will probably happen anyway. Like, she'll probably win, and Denzel should win for leading actor because they acted their ass off. And it's I don't know if enjoy like it's I'm glad I watched it. It's a tough watch, but it's like it's a good movie. But it's kind of like you have it's for a specific demographic, and it's one of those things like if you're a Denzel fan, you'll see it. But otherwise, it's kind of like it's hard to market because that's the way to describe it. Like, and the reason why it's hard to market it is because it's a black movie that deals with like mundane life and stuff like that. If this was like a Wes Anderson movie or a P.T. Anderson movie or something like that, and it was like Daniel Day-Lewis, it'd be easy to market it because you can just have the slow music and Daniel Day gazing into the sunlight and all this stuff. And, you know, have – and it basically like if it was Kate – if it was like – what's her name? Not – if it was Nicole Kidman and Daniel Day-Lewis, and it was like, oh, people dealing with coal mines closed and dealing with life in such and such West Virginia, yeah, it'd be easy to describe and it'd be fine. But since it's kind of like, you know, black people dealing with kind of racism and being held back in life in the 50s in Pittsburgh of all places, it's like, that's real specific. It's something like you normally wouldn't see. Like, it's a normal American story, but we don't get American stories like that in movies, because it's basically like those type of stories tend to have like white faces, and this one doesn't. So yeah.
All right. Did you see? I'm sorry. You know, as we started getting into this topic, and as you were talking, I was looking at like the top 10 movies, gross wise, and started looking at the movies in general, and thinking, God damn, I did not see a lot of movies this year in the theater.
I think I probably see a lot more than you did.
My thing's been catching up on old movies and television, to be honest. We talked about this on another show where my shift has been more towards TV lately. And I'm not sure why, but I think it's because it's easily digestible now. Yeah. Hell, I can watch all the TV shows I need to at work if I want to.
Or Yeah, as I pull up the list. And I have worldwide grosses out of the top 20 movies I have seen either in the theater or on Blu-ray. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 of the 20.
I've seen 8.
Yeah. And two of them, like, I didn't see two of them, like, Chinese movies. Like, I didn't see Mermaid.
You're doing worldwide. I'm sorry.
I'm doing worldwide. If I did, let me see. If I do domestic, how would it be? Because usually the summertime, I go every week. And then, like, fall and winter might be, like, twice a month. And if domestic, if I do that, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Damn.
I've seen almost, out of these 20, I've probably seen 16. Like, the only ones I hadn't seen, I didn't see Trolls, Jason Bourne, Sing, and no, five, Fantastic Beasts, and Finding Dory. I've seen everything else that's in that list.
Yeah, I didn't see Finding Dory, which number one movie, go figure. Secret Life of Pets, I actually wanted to see, but I never got around to seeing that.
I saw that on Blu-ray.
How is that? That looked kind of goofy, stupid, fun, though.
It's goofy, stupid fun. Like, it's not, and it's funny. Like, if you're into pets, you know, it tells a funny story because it's basically like, you know, pets compared to animals that used to be pets or animals that's tossed away and aren't loved anymore. But it's not like a Pixar deep movie.
Yeah,
it's not like Zootopia, which I'm still batshit.
I still need to see that one. So
yeah, I was looking here like. I feel like I was back in the 60s again watching Zootopia. Like, I'm shocked. And we talked about before in a show like that. But, yeah, I saw Rogue One, Captain America. Yeah. It's a shame that Star Trek Beyond didn't do better, considering how much better it was than the last one. Like, that.
Yep.
That's probably one of my favorite movies I watch. It's funny, like, best movie I probably saw was Civil War. But the most enjoyment I got at the movie theater was probably, it's funny, it's going to be either Star Trek Beyond, X-Men Apocalypse, or that Madea Halloween movie. Out of those three. And we did a show. Yeah, you can laugh all you want.
You did not. No. I'm not laughing at your choice. I am laughing at the choice because I did not see that one coming. Because
I told you about that when we talked about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you named Star Trek, X-Men, and I immediately figured, oh, okay, Batman, Superman. And when you said Medea, Boo Medea, I was like, what?
It was a combination of, it was a theater where everybody was there to enjoy the movie. It was a full theater, and I almost broke a damn, like, I felt bad laughing. I almost broke a damn rib laughing. Like, I know Tyler Perry movies are, like, lowbrow, but the hell with it. Like, I'm not a snob when it comes to that. And that movie was hilarious, and I was in the perfect crowd to see that. It's funny, like, when you see movies in a movie theater, the crowd you go to can make or break your experience.
Yes.
Because if you go to the wrong crowd or you go to a snarky crowd, then it's like, ugh. Like, I saw Ninja Turtles. If I had saw that on a weekend, like the afternoon, I'd have probably enjoyed it more than seeing, like, Thursday night when it first came out and there's, like, 9 people in the theater. Because it's kind of like you're there by yourself and you don't really kind of get into it. Like, it was still enjoyable, but it wasn't as enjoyable as it could have. Like, that's one of the reasons why people should still see big movies. It's nothing beats seeing it in a full theater with great sound, great screens, around people that like the same thing you like. And, like, Fast and Furious movies, I tend to have the most enjoyment because at this point, everybody who goes knows what they're signing up for, and they're all in. Like, that's the stuff like that is fine. I hate going to some movies and people are like, they all snarky and I saw this coming. But like, stay your ass home. Like, what are you doing?
I think that kind of thought process depends on the movie you're going to. If you're going, all right, I'll use Fast and the Furious for this example. Or actually, we'll use Triple X. Okay. If you're going to Triple X, the new one, which is, what, 2 weeks away? That's January, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so 2 weeks away before movie season starts. If you go to Triple X and all of a sudden you're watching this movie and you're like, okay, I'm watching this, and it gets to the scene where he's slalom skiing down a mountain or a jungle, and you go, that wouldn't happen. This movie's stupid. Okay, no, you don't. That's the wrong attitude to have. If you go to a movie that's very deliberate in its realism, and it's I want to use the words highfalutin, but I think you know what I'm going for. And it's so obvious what happens, and you're like, okay, this arrogant director actually thought that I'm supposed to be confused by this. It depends on the movie. And by the way, I really can't wait to see Triple X because of him slalom skiing down a mountain and then riding a motorcycle on the ocean.
Yeah.
God,
and it's kind of like, and every time that trailer shows, you have people like kind of chuckling and like, it depends. People who would see Marvel movies wouldn't necessarily see like Triple X. People would see Fast and Furious, like, because when the Fast and Furious movie trailer came up, it's people like, you know, some people were into it, some people rolled it. I was like, those audiences don't cross as much as people would think.
Like, yeah.
which is surprising because I look at both as kind of like superhero movies. It's just one is official and one might as well be.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm looking at, it's funny when I bring up Madea, I'm looking at the movies that made less than it did domestically, including 10 Cloverfield Lane.
I have not watched that yet. Yeah,
the last Divergent movie that came out. Hacksaw Ridge, Ice Age, Jack Reacher, Neighbors 2. Like, it's a lot of movies. Huntsman, Winter's War, Cubo, and Two Strings, Warcraft. Like, it's a lot of movies on this list that movie made more money than for, you know, for all, like, nose turn. Because I remember laughing, like, it made more money than that Tom Hanks movie, Inferno, like, 1 week, and then made more money than the newest Jack Reacher movie. Like, it was number one 2 weeks in a row, and it knocked off Tom Hanks and Tom Cruise. And I remember just laughing, like, Tyler Perry in a Dress made more money than Great Dames, Tom Hanks in an international blockbuster movie, and Mr. Action God himself, Tom Cruise. How about that?
How many movies did Tom Cruise make this year, by the way? Just two?
He made Jack Reacher and that might be
it. Oh, that's just one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. I know he's doing, slow year for him.
Yeah, because he's doing The Mummy next year and then Mission Impossible either next year or the year after, the next Mission Impossible. He doesn't work a lot.
Year he had three or four in 1 year. And it was like every 3 months there was another Tom Cruise movie. It's like, okay, I mean, that's fine.
I think it might have been like either Oblivion, Mission Impossible movie, and like a Jack Reacher movie or something. It was like some year like that. Either like Oblivion, Edge of Tomorrow, and then two other sequels. It kind of fit that way.
All right, yeah. So wait a minute. Let's try and get back on track. So your top three movies were what again? And I'm not joking.
Top three movies that I saw or top three movies that I enjoyed? Best I would say was Civil War was number one. I'd say Doctor Strange was number two. And I'd have to think for the third one because it was like a lot of movies I saw. But enjoyment was kind of like X-Men Apocalypse, the Madea movie, and Star Trek Beyond. Because they were just fun and enjoyable movies. And Central Intelligence is somewhere in there, too. It's probably fit in there, which I actually liked the second time. I liked it more when I saw it on Blu-ray than I first saw it in a movie theater. I think I kind of underrated it, like how good that movie was.
Okay, I'm saving mine for a second. But I'm saying what I was about to say.
I can tell what my worst one was besides Collaborative. Like, I didn't see a lot of bad movies. I only saw two. The one I dislike, well, not even dislike, probably the one that Tarzan, that stands out because I remember seeing that. And even when we went to see, it's kind of like, there's nothing else out. Why not? And it just seemed unnecessary.
Yeah. That's why I had no interest in seeing it.
And it kind of seemed like it's a better movie. I was like, I'd rather see the movie if that movie would be better if Samuel Jackson was the star. If that makes sense. That's the first thing I thought at the end of the movie. Like, yeah, they followed I didn't give a damn about Tarzan doing Tarzan stuff. I cared more about Samuel Jackson and Margot Robbie than Tarzan, which is a problem if the movie is Tarzan. You're supposed to care about Tarzan. Like, it just seemed like, who asked for this? Like, Tarzan is problematic anyway. And it's like, yeah, he fighting monkeys and not dying. Like, yeah, if you get clotheslined by a gorilla, you're going to die. Like, shout out to Harambee. Tarzan was not running around with a gun. So, yeah, like, you remember seeing the trailer preview when then the gorilla and jumping at each other. Like, okay, maybe it makes sense in the movie. No, that happens. They're jumping at each other. He gets clotheslined by a grown-up gorilla, gets the crap beat out of him, and somehow he doesn't die.
I remember when the preview came up, I was like, okay, wait a minute, is this Tarzan? And it goes through everything, and I'm like, oh, all right, you know, the Weta or whoever, special effects are cool. I have no interest beyond that. So, all right, I've seen all I wanted to see of this. And then they showed more, and I'm like, it's not working. That's why I was surprised when you said you went and saw it. I remember on the show when you said so. I was like, wow, all right.
Yeah, it was one of those, like, we didn't have anything else to do, and it's kind of like, I guess. I think it was one of those.
I guess. Yeah. We don't have too many of those moments right now. But when it comes to the three I've seen that I enjoyed, really, I know it's unpopular, but I enjoyed the hell out of Superman Batman. or Batman, Superman, whatever it is. It, not the greatest, but goddamn, that had so many fun, geeky moments in there. And I guess that was my enjoyment out of it. I mean, it had so many different things. And we got a terrific version of Batman. Like, the psychotic, brutal Batman. And yes, he killed people, which is, you know, that argument's really dull by now. But it's had so many different comic stories in there. And yes, it kind of took away from the movie, if you want to get, you know, go back to our earlier, the technical conversation. But I enjoyed the hell out of that thing. Doctor Strange was the one totally shocked me. Shocked me how good that was, because for such a difficult character, I didn't really know anything about him. All right, yeah, was he the Sorcerer Supreme? I don't know what that means. So cool. I just do your magic stuff. They blew through the origin, which was good, and with the way they ended it and the way things happened, okay, he was the good guy, but he was breaking all the rules to be the good guy. So when Mordo, okay. When Mordo, Jesus Christ, when he leaves, you're like, well, he's kind of justified. He's been following the rules, doing everything. Here's this ham and egger comes in, and within a couple months is breaking all the rules, saving the world, and everyone's cool with that? Like, wait a second. You're putting everybody in danger, jerk off. And then Rogue One. I need to start doing this again. This show's full of spoilers. I'm actually upset they killed everybody in that movie. I know it led right into, you know, A New Hope. I just wanted to see more of some of those guys. But it didn't take away from my satisfaction or my enjoyment of that movie at all. From, you know, about 20 minutes in, it takes off and never slows down. And it was just fun. And it was the first time I remember seeing a Star Wars movie where, well, I guess Boba Fett, but you see a bunch of characters that, oh, yeah, that's really cool. Let's do some more. Wait, what? No, get off the beach. Where's the ship going to save them on the beach? There's no ship? And that was the end?
I mean,
yeah,
it's funny. I know why they kill, because it's kind of like, if they don't die, then you're wondering, well, where were they during Star Wars? The Empire Strikes Back and yada, yada, yada. Like, and then it's the whole, is Jen Ray's mom? And I think they kind of like, you know, want to nip stuff in the bud, because, yeah. We both talked about Rogue One. It's funny for me. I think I enjoy more movies when it's followed by people that aren't so anal about movies. And I think that kind of messes up my... It's not even like Star Wars' fault, but Star Wars fans get on my damn nerves.
It's really any people like that.
But it's some take it way more like, you know, because it's more like I like Star Wars and Star Trek, and they both can be annoying. Star Wars seem to be way more annoying. I know because like Fast and Furious, if you like Fast and Furious, you're not worrying about physics. Like, we don't have those conversations like, oh, I mean, really, the only people that really complain about is like car people saying, oh, I wish they brought back the car races, but they're not watching anymore anyway. They're not going to go to a movie theater. They're not the type to go to a movie theater to see a Fast and Furious movie unless they're a fan of Fast and Furious at this point. Like, we're on the eighth one. You kind of know what you're getting into. You're not just going to go randomly see one just to see one. So it's different with Star Wars fans and like, passionate fans in general, because it happened to comic fans too. They'll go to a movie and they, you know, I don't like this, da da da. Like, they'll go to a movie not expecting to like it and waiting to crap on it, but go anyway and go see it two or three times, which I can see if you want to see it once out of curiosity. You're going to go see a movie that you say you don't like three times? Like, even twice is like, okay, maybe the first time you just want to picture it, and then this time you can actually analyze it. After that, it's kind of like, you can wait for the DVD to come out. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Well, it was funny, over Christmas, my dad hadn't seen it, so I was like, cool, let's go. I'll definitely go with you again. And didn't get a chance, which sucked, because I do want to see that movie again, but I'm guessing it's, what, a month away from being out on Blu-ray? So
no.
It's Disney. Shit.
It, Disney takes their time.
No, they don't. Disney throws shit out like a month after it's on the theaters.
No, not in Blu-rays. They don't. You know how long it took Captain.
They were famous for putting out the sequel to Alice in Wonderland came out a month after it was out in theaters.
Because that movie didn't make any money. Rogue One is like still like number one. So that movie is not going to be out on Blu-ray anytime soon.
I'm guessing at the latest it'll be March.
How long? Think of this way. Think about how long it took for Civil War to come out on Blu-ray compared to Batman versus Superman and X-Men Apocalypse and Deadpool. Civil War took a long time to come out on Blu-ray compared to the other ones. Like, yeah. And Force Awakens took quite a while to come out. Because if it's in a movie theater and it's still making money, then yeah, no. Disney put something out.
It was September 6th is when the Blu-ray was released. It actually didn't leave theaters. The last theater was September 22nd.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that's a dollar theater. Probably. What kind of idiot would do that? But, well, no, I guess you needed to see Civil War in the theater, though. But
yeah, Rogue One is still, number one in, that thing probably won't come out till April or May. I bet you. At the earliest. Like on Blu-ray. And then the 3D version will come out in October, November.
Yeah, the jerk offs, yeah.
the same thing they did with Force Awakens. I'm like, what kind of, because they are known for double dipping. And they're going to triple dip when they finally decide to do HD DVDs or Ultra 8, 4K Blu-rays, because for whatever reason, Disney doesn't believe in that right now.
It was about 4 months. It was April 5th was Force Awakens. So. Yeah, it was released. April's 4, right? Yeah, so about 4 months. Yeah, so April. Yeah, I could see him doing the same thing then. But.
But
those are my three. I got no complaints with them. I've watched Batman over and over again, which is really, it's a Batman movie, so whatever.
Yeah. It's funny because I enjoy. Because normally, with unrated cuts, it's kind of like they don't really change that much for it to make a difference. Yeah, the Batman Superman unrated one is a lot better movie than the one that's on the theater.
Yes.
But I don't think people want to sit around and watch a 3-hour superhero movie. I can see why they made the cuts, because it's like, that's asking for a lot. That's in the movie theater for 3 hours.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. If it's that old thing where if the movie's enjoyable, you don't know how long you're in the movie theater for.
Up until 2.5 hours, you don't, but it's a limit to that because your knees or your bladder will tell you you've been a long time. Because Civil War was a long movie, and it wasn't 3 hours, but in some movies, it can be a great movie and time flies, but 3 hours ain't flying by. I don't care what it is. After 2 hours and 25 minutes, it's kind of like the emotion you get away with before you start noticing. How long have you been in the movie theater? And, because I remember watching, what movie was it? Gangs of New York on TV. I enjoyed it when it came on TV. I would not have enjoyed it going to a movie theater.
I did not enjoy seeing that in the theater at all. I didn't really like that movie that much, from what I remember. It's been a long time since I've seen it. I just remember being in the theater oh my God, this is taking forever. And so I guess it kind of goes with what you're saying, but most long movies, if it's good, I'll speak for myself only in this. I don't have a problem with it, but I know I'm not wired the way everybody else is either. So
I think the thing is, it's depending on type of movie. Dramas used to be long all the time, like The Godfather and Goodfellas and yada yada and all that. It's hard to do an action movie that's long without it being drawn out and being boring.
Yeah.
You could do that probably better. But then attention spans change because it's kind of if The Godfather came out now, that'd be on HBO. It'd be no way in the world somebody going, because that movie is one of the best movies of all time. It's a great movie. But that movie takes its time to get where it needs to get. And audiences aren't built and wired for that at this point. It's kind of I'll need to get here now and see that now. Even when stuff kind of takes its time. You're when you gonna get to the stuff? Because Batman versus Superman biggest problem was it took a while from the beginning to like get to the stuff. Like it spent a lot of time building, and Suicide Squad had that same issue, but it didn't take as long to do that. Like I haven't seen the extended edition of Suicide Squad. Like I own it, I haven't watched it yet.
I don't have it yet. So
yeah, I'm curious because all I've heard like is more Joker, and I'm like, all right.
It's funny. You were saying that action movies don't get longer. You know what franchise the movies have all gotten longer as they've gone on?
Let me guess. Is it one we both love?
Yep.
Yeah.
Of course it is. The very first thing I looked up was Fast and Furious movie running times. Mm-hmm. The first one was an hour and a half.
Yeah, I figured that.
The last one was where'd it go? Sorry, I just lost it. 2 hours and 17 minutes. Seven minutes longer than part six.
And it still doesn't seem like... And it's still like... It's funny. The first three movies are like... Those movies zoom by. Like, those are short-ass movies. It's weird now because you think like every action movie is at least 2 hours. So when you have one that's kind of like 90 minutes, 95 minutes, it's like, oh, you in and out. Like, wow. Like, why? It's jarring watching the old Fast and Furious movies because by the time you get into it, the movie's over. Like, I remember watching the first one, like, I thought this movie was a lot longer than what it was the thought that went through my head. Like, that movie just zoomed by. So, but they can get away with it because they're adding, like, you know, 7 minutes, 6 minutes and stuff. And it's kind of like they built a universe where people like they don't have to building like, you know, world like character building because everybody know the people. They get the cheat. Like movie franchises aren't really able to do that like now because most sequels don't get that far. Like and even the ones that do, it's kind of like Die Hard. Oof. I mean, it's basically John McClane.
Like, yeah,
Reginald Johnson showed up for a cameo in the second one, but other than that. You know, John McClane.
Do you know what the story was behind that? Because even as a kid, I was confused why he was relegated to nothing. I mean, I know he was in two different, you know, areas. But then the third, fourth, nothing. Didn't even mention him anymore. And I didn't understand that at all. Because I thought he was an essential part of the first one.
Yeah, like he was basically the voice, kind of like I got your back. I believe in you. While all these other assholes are thinking you crazy, like he's the man on the ground thing, and he had his own. It's weird because you know the internet wasn't a thing. I'm sure if you went on IMDb, it was a reason behind it. I think part of it is just that it was just a franchise. People didn't really think about stuff like that. Like Lethal Weapon is funny where they had more people that kind of like went from movie to movie. But if you look at the other ones, it's like normally, you know, sequels don't go past two or, you know, at the most it's three. And the ones that go longer, you don't have a lot of carryover. Like Rambo is Rambo and Trotman for the like one, two and three. And that's it. Like nobody else kind of like there's no universe besides it's Rambo doing Rambo things. Terminator is Terminator, is Sarah Connor and whoever they get to play John Connor like. It's not a lot of, oh, this character is like in this one and yada, yada, yada. Even in Mission Impossible, that's up on, it's been what? Two, three, four, five? Five. They've done five movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's been Tom Cruise and Ving Rhames up until like the third one. And then Simon Pegg's been in like three. Now they're starting to build stuff where like Jeremy Renner's been in two. Simon Pegg's been in three. But even then, it's kind of like, only if you look at Mission Impossible 1, Mission Impossible 2, and Mission Impossible 3, the only cast that stays the same is Tom Cruise and Ving Rhames. Everybody else is different. And almost a joke like, being Tom Cruise boss is not the move to make because either you're going to die or you're going to be evil or you're barely going to be there. So, but like Fast and Furious is the exception. And I know they never would have thought they got this far where this goof and that's a testament to our show. Like somehow it always leads to Fast and Furious.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Yeah,
like it's like when that movie came out, I don't think anybody would have guessed that this movie became like a juggernaut And it kind of leads to what we're talking about, like, you know, what movies are you excited to see? Like, it's a lot of movies coming out. We've joked about but that one is the one I'm excited to see out of everything that's coming out.
Okay, let's redo this then. That one doesn't count. Because that's obviously our number one answer. Mm-hmm. But before we get to that part, have you shown or have you told anybody about the Fast and Furious trailer that hadn't seen it, and then they just came back and were like, "Oh yeah, okay." Like
no, because
I've shown that to people and they're like, "Oh, that's pretty cool." I was like, "Pretty cool." I was like, "Did you not watch the end?" Yeah, I watched it.
That's the thing.
They're being chased by a fucking submarine. Are you out of your? Do you understand what I just said? Do you understand what you just watched?
No, you know what the problem is? No, that's the thing. The goalposts have been moved so much where it's kind of like it takes a lot for people to be surprised because you see, you can make the impossible look real. So when you see stuff that's actually like real, that's real or pseudo real being done, you just say, "Oh, CGI computer stuff." It's kind of like Tom Cruise hanging off a damn plane as the plane, you know, lifts off.
Yeah.
Should be something that's kind of like wow, but it's like, oh, he probably is wires. It's like after you've seen Iron Man, Tom Cruise running off a building is kind of like, even though it's funny about that though, it shifts because CGI went so much in one way, so when like stuff like The Raid and Dread and John Wick came out, when it's like real people doing real stuff, it's like, oh, that's how it's really done. I miss this. But it's not – but fans of those are enjoyed. But like casual fans don't care how it's done. And if you've seen Guardians of the Galaxy and you've seen Rogue One, then seeing a submarine – chase tanks chasing a Ferrari on ice is like, oh, okay. It's like a Pierce Brosnan James Bond movie. It's probably that. Like, if you're a casual fan, you don't think about it because you can see whatever. We've gotten to a point where you can do almost anything, and if you're good enough, make it look realistic. Once you're there, like, what are you going to do?
I just thought of this one movie we didn't even I didn't even consider. I forgot Deadpool came out this year, or I'm sorry, in 2016. That came
out. Golden Globe nominated.
Yeah, which is even more bizarre that the Golden Globes are this weekend. When the hell did they turn into when did they become a January award? But
it's always been around that time.
I always thought it was February.
It's been like either December or January. Like it's basically like let them get drunk and have stuff come out before the Oscars.
I never watch them anyway, so it doesn't ruin my schedule. But I did forget about Deadpool, so I'm actually thinking Doctor Strange gets the boot because Deadpool was way better, I think, than it had any right to be, and the fact that my own wife liked it a lot too. Although she liked Doctor Strange a lot, too. But I'm not taking Star Wars out because that was too much fun. So, yeah, I'm going to change mine. It's going to be Deadpool in there instead. So,
yeah, I know they made a big deal how Deadpool got nominated for Golden Globe for like in the comedy section. And Ryan Reynolds also got nominated. And it's like that's a first for like comic movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like because they never get nominated for anything because kind of like, oh, yada yada, and it kind of leads into what we're gonna talk about later. And I'm starting to get to the point where I don't want to read anything else about it. It's been a lot of talk about how good Logan is.
Yeah, I'm done reading about
that. I hope they're not putting up too highly. Like people kind of like, yeah, like this is a real grown up. It's gonna change stuff. How Deadpool changed stuff, and I think. You know what I think was going to probably end up happening? I think they're going to do what the second Wolverine movie should have done. And I think the reason they're going to be able to do it is because Deadpool's a thing. Because Deadpool existed, was a rated R movie, and made a crap load of money. It's like, okay, you can do whatever you want. This is your last, you know, this will be the last one. And the X-Men universe is in so much flux now, like, they don't know where they want to go. Like, I know they started casting for New Mutants. I know Legion's about to pop up on FX, but when you ask them, like, what's going to be the next one? Like, they asked Michael Fassbender. He's like, I don't know. They didn't talk to me. I have no clue.
And you know what? I don't know how many people would miss X-Men right now. So it's not that it's bad, obviously, But it's like a back burner for a few years probably wouldn't be a bad idea. Let the adult play things go, and then see how far you can go. And if you have to tone back X-Men a little, well, why not? And
yeah, but you don't want to be that whole you wait too long,
right? Yeah,
because you know. And I heard a lot of people say that, oh, you know, I wish these movies go away and they reboot and stuff. And people tend to forget, like, do you not remember how long the gap between Batman and Robin and Batman Begins? That was a long-ass time when you did not have Batman. And that's Batman. Like, you really think – you really want to go 4 or 5 years without an X-Men movie? Like, and then people think, oh, I'm going to jump right back into it. Why? Like, even if DC is flying around, like, Marvel's going to be around. And they are not – and I know people can complain and everything like that. They can put out anything and make $500 million at this point. So they're going to be around for a long-ass time. And you're competing with that. You're competing with the Fast and Furious. Star Wars is back, and they're dropping a movie every damn year. Jurassic Park is a thing. Transformers is still a thing. Like, you can't just be gone for a long time, jump back in the game and say, oh, welcome back, I'm here. Did you miss me? Like, because Independence Day tried that. And that's another movie I saw on Blu-ray. It wasn't as bad as people made it out, like, as because everybody said how horrible it was. Like, it wasn't bad. It was just, it's a movie I would watch on Netflix or Blu-ray. Like, I wouldn't have went to the movie theater to see it. And it's
Which movie are you talking about again? Sorry.
The sequel to Independence Day.
Okay. That held. I didn't like the first one, so that really held no interest.
You know what's sad about it? It had a like. I doubt they'll make a sequel. Like, it was setting up for a sequel. The story was an interesting story that they were telling. It was just the. It's one of those movies where like the actors let the movie down. And normally, it's reverse, which is funny. I mean, because you know, no Will Smith. Like, Bill Pullman's a lunatic in there. Like, he's a crazy old president nobody listens to. And I'm sick of Liam Hemsworth. Like, no.
Yeah, why is he a thing still?
Because his brother's a thing.
I understand, but at least his brother's Thor. What's this guy done?
He shows up in movies. He's like a clean-cut version of Jai Courtney. Like, he was in the Hunger Games. Basically, that's what he's like. He shows up like he was in the Hunger Games. The boring one, which is saying a lot because the other guy, like Josh Hutcherson, wasn't Mr. Charisma himself, but Liam Hemsworth made him look like Al Pacino. It's like he shows up and stuff, and they keep trying to make him a star because his brother's a star. I'm like, no, his brother has charisma to act. Liam Hemsworth is just pretty. That's it. And it's this whole Hollywood thing where if you look a certain way, they assume you got to be this white bread, clean cut. We look through the audience and you can root for him because it's white bread. But that never works. Like, you look at all the movie stars that are stars, they all have flavor to them. They all have something that makes them stand out. Like, Brad Pitt's biggest issue is that he's too pretty. Like, he's an awesome character actor that people treat like, you know, he's Robert Redford. Or, like, back in the day, like Cary Grant, because, like, he looks like a movie star, so they treat him like a boring version of a movie star. And, no, that's not him. Like, when he's acting like, Inglourious Bastards, Seven, stuff like that, when he can just be himself, he's awesome. World War Z, when he's just being the man of the people, and, like, it's dull. And it's a lot of people, it is a lot of Liam Hemsworth that's coming down, they're throwing in our face like he's going to be the next star. No. Like, Jai Courtney, no. Let Jai Courtney be a lunatic like he was in Suicide Squad. I'll watch him. Don't push him in here and see he's going to be a leading man. And like, no. As long as The Rock exists, these young boys are not going to get anything. Because they're going to get compared to all these old people that are just more energetic, and that's more of a Hollywood thing than anything else. It's kind of, and it's more of like, you know, we don't know how to build movie stars anymore because one, movie franchises prove that you could put any good actor in there and they make money, and then two, we just put the same boring face and we want you to be the world has changed, but movie stars haven't changed with the movie for a lot of people.
All right, so let's get back to what we were talking about. We always go on these asides. So, all right. So, most anticipated. Now, this and obviously, Fast and Furious is not considered in this. This is not an easy choice. Like, if we're given our top one that we're anticipating, or are we giving a top five, top three?
We'll do five because it's hard. There's so many movies out. It's hard to kind of choose three.
I think five isn't there. Weren't we joking around that there's actually a movie a week all year? It seems.
It seems like I just know, and for me, between January and February, it is Underworld comes out this weekend. Triple X comes out in 2 weeks. Resident Evil comes out. Logan comes out, and John Wick comes out. All in January and February. Like, that's five right there. That's for me.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull up. Like a schedule.
Off the top of my head, like I didn't even like do any research, and I know those movies are all coming out in like January, February.
All right, 2017 movies. All right.
Yeah, I'm going there too.
Yeah, I'm a movie insider. Logan's up there because this is the first R-rated version of a character that's already established. So taking, you know, to being a, if you want to go into like technical wise, yes. I just want to see what they're going to do because of course there's an ad on it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Which we need to talk about on another show. But yeah. I'm really looking forward to Logan.
Yeah. Look what comes out after Logan.
When is Logan anyways? I didn't see
March 3rd.
March 3rd. So, mm-hmm. Well, okay. These are in no particular order, by the way. So, yeah, Logan. Wow. Yeah, dude, it's almost...
Yeah. King Kong.
King Kong. Kong. That takes place during the Vietnam War. Did you know that?
Yeah.
I had no idea. I just figured it was just more military stuff. I'm just going through everything. Guardians of the Galaxy, for sure, because I love the first one. And this one looks, from the small, you know, trailers we've gotten, looks to be not even better, but just as good. Yeah. If it's as good, perfect for me.
So look at so basically, jumping from May. So May, you have Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh yeah.
Just, and then two weeks from now, you have Alien.
Yep.
And then the next week you have Baywatch, another Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yep.
And the week after that you have Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. The week after that you have The Mummy. Then 2 weeks after that you have Transformers.
Well, I know it's not for us, but you can't skip Cars 3.
Oh, yeah, Cars 3. Anytime I see that trailer, I'm like, what the hell am I watching?
Yeah, are they snuffing out Speed McQueen or whatever his name was? Like, what was his name? Yeah. I don't remember.
I think you might have got it right. And then you have that, then... Yeah, Spider-Man Homecoming, July 7th. The week after that, the next Planet of the Apes movie. The week after that, that Dunkirk movie from Christopher Nolan. And Valerian from, Luc Besson.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Dark Tower after that. Like, yeah. So basically...
Then wait a minute. So then all of a sudden it crashes on August 4th.
Emoji movie?
Oh, boy.
Annabelle 2. Yeah, no thanks.
All right, well, if you liked Annabelle, maybe you want to see the next one.
I like Annabelle to the end, and then I won't have to see ever again.
September.
Then October pops back up because you have both Blade Runner, the sequel to Blade Runner, and a sequel to Kingsman. Yeah. And then Friday the 13th. On Friday
Why
13th.
Didn't they move those? I'm confused about that. So
somebody's gonna move. Somebody's gonna move. Oh, and then you have the next Insidious movie, and then you have a Saw movie.
And Cloverfield 2017.
Yeah, and then November you have Thor, and then 2 weeks later Justice League. Like I forgot all these movies came out. Justice League, and then in December you have Star Wars. And Jumanji.
And the $6 billion man.
Dollar man, yes. And yeah. People gonna go broke.
Yeah, I was gonna get on my but yeah, so it's after we got all through those though, I'm still where did I say Guardians of the Galaxy. Wonder Woman for sure. Because a big budget Wonder Woman movie, never been done. A Wonder Woman movie has never been done. And she was the best part of Superman Batman. For me, Justice League's on there. I just want to see what it's going to do. I don't know if it's going to be good or not. I'm sure, you know, we're going to hear complaints. Something. We're going to hear about Flash being better on TV. I'm waiting for that. And then, I mean, an obvious number one. Well, I can't say obvious because they're Star Wars, but John Wick 2 is coming out.
Yeah, that was my number one counting not yeah. like non Fast so, and Furious, and that's hilarious yes. considering like you have DC and Marvel coming out with brand new movies and a Star Wars, but my non Fast and Furious one is John Wick 2.
Mm-hmm. No shame, because none. I'm still amazed by John Wick, and I'm, you know, if it came down to like arm pulling. Yeah. I would say if I had to save all my money not see a movie, it would be John Wick. It would be the first one. I'd actually have to skip Triple X. We forgot The Rings, which I think is a sequel to The Ring.
Yes.
I'm confused. I see on February 3rd there's a movie called I Am Not Your Negro. What the fuck is that?
When you see it, you let me know. When we don't talk, us yeah. I don't know.
Oh, it's about James Baldwin writing his last book.
Ah, okay. There you go. That, it's funny where...
That's kind of a harsh title.
You know, but... it's funny. Something about context sounds like... And we were talking about Jean-Claude Van Johnson, and you're talking about N-word Jim. I'm like, yeah. If somebody stepped in this conversation and you heard about context, they wonder, what the hell are they talking about? So... Yeah, like not even talking about the TV stuff that's coming out. Like,
it actually sounds like an interesting movie. Just yeah, I think it's a bad title, but okay.
I think the title probably catches your eye because it caught mine.
Oh yes, it did. So
yeah, just not even thinking about the TV show that's coming out. This movie schedule is insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like all this from like, there's no really the only dead time is what was it? End of August or September or something like that. Said when it fell off a cliff, I think it was like August.
It was August, yes.
Yeah.
With the because
basically
movie.
Like from now, because basically like it's going to be January, February, and March. You're going to have your stuff. You might have a little gap in April. Then from like May to July, you're going to have all that stuff. And then from like late September to New Year's, you're going to have everything. Like just think about you're going to have Guardians of the Galaxy, Spider-Man, and Thor.
Yeah.
Just from Marvel. I
forgot about that. DC, yes.
Yeah, DC, you're going to have Wonder Woman and Justice League. You're going to have a Fast and the Furious movie. You're going to have a Transformer movie. You're going to have King Kong. You know, whatever Disney movies that are coming out, like Cars and stuff. I'm sure I probably forgot some stuff. Like, it's a lot of stuff. Like, I'm looking forward to see that sequel to Kingsman because that was one. That's, yeah.
Well, it's like I said, we only did five. Because believe me, there's all of these movies I'm highly anticipating. Yeah. So
like even stuff like even like you kind of like glance up like oh they knew a sequel to Alien.
Yeah,
like
yeah, I know.
And I saw the trailer. I'm like, this looks like an Alien movie. This isn't like no BS. It's Alien without Alien. Like no, this is like Aliens with Aliens. Like Ridley Scott. Like I'm going back to basics. And it's why I haven't even thought about the Blade Runner movie. I don't know a lot of people. I'd probably see it because I love the director.
I don't really have any interest in seeing it, though.
I'm like, only seeing it because of the director.
Yeah,
that's it.
No, I know, but it's...
But other because the first...
For it?
Yeah. People ask, you know, people ask for it until they got it. It's one of those things like, I want to see a sequel. It's funny, people are always like, well, who? Some stuff you don't ask for sequels because it's like, who asked for sequels to Alice in Wonderland besides the fact that they made a whole bunch of money?
Yeah.
But the fact that it made a whole bunch of money and people like money, it's like that's why we're getting another Pirates of the Caribbean and Orlando Bloom is coming back because Those, like, I never saw the fourth one. I saw the first three. They're fine. Those movies make bet shitloads of money.
You don't people need to like, see the fourth one, to be honest. It wasn't very good.
I watched bits and pieces. I never watched from beginning to end. It's kind of like, oh, Orlando Bloom's gone. Keira Knightley's gone. Nah, I'm all right. Like, I don't like Penelope Cruz is cool, but she's not enough for me to watch that movie. So, but just stuff like that. Like, we never talked about the trailer to, like, Kong Skull Island. We skipped over for like a month. Mm-hmm. And just the fact that they have King Kong looking as big as Godzilla looked during the Vietnam War. And you have John Goodman and Tom Hiddleston and you have actors acting and it's in the shared universe with Godzilla. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Planet of the Apes.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the most underrated franchises. I like those are great depression.
I didn't even see that on that list.
That comes out this year.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
You got Woody Harrelson running around looking like a madman, trying to kill these apes off. Like, yeah, it's a lot of great movies that's come out. Kind of like you have to remember what's coming out and have time for everything. Where, yeah, this is a time I'm fortunate I have movie money.
We also forgot Power Rangers. Ghost. Well, you know, that's not my bag, but for my wife's kid, he grew up with them.
No.
So I'm sure they're going to be like, holy shit, I can't wait to see this.
Well, you know what's funny? Like, I'm going to go see it, and people talking about, oh, who they make it for, you know, it's not for us. I'm like, Power Rangers still comes out. Like, it's not something where it came out and it just died.
Yeah,
and
right?
Like, they still, like, Power Rangers is still popular. They're still on, and matter of fact, it's to the point now where they're working together. Like, the United States has say in storylines forward, like the Japan footage. Like, they're actually trying to get on the same page now. Before, it's like Japan makes its stuff and they get the leftovers to turn to the Power Rangers.
I got
you. Thing's been out for 25 years and Power Rangers is still a thing. It's like, yeah. So that's, yeah.
We forgot it's Ghost like, in the Shell. Hey, doesn't matter. It's still – that's going to be a big one.
Man, that thing is going to bomb hard.
You think? Even with Scarlett Johansson?
Scarlett Johansson walking around in a new suit will only go so far. Because, Lucy pawned itself off as an action movie to sucker people in and then realize, you don't know what the hell you're watching. I still don't know how the movie made as much as it made. I think it was the trail, it's going to be like The Matrix but with Scarlett Johansson. Instead, it was – gobbledygook with Morgan Freeman trying to make sense of it. So I don't know. It's just because it's a lot of negative energy around it, and there's a lot of people going against don't worry about it, social justice worry, this and that. And I'm like, even if you take all that aside and you take all the racial stuff aside, Ghost in the Shell is could you explain that to somebody?
Yeah, exactly.
And, yeah, like I wouldn't try to explain that. It's kind of like I don't see how casual people would see something like that, and it's too much smoke around the people who enjoy it to yeah.
Well, you gotta remember though, man, we always bring this up. We're into this stuff. A casual audience, they don't know anything about what we're talking about.
Exactly. So I'm a casual person and I see the trailer. What am I watching?
Yeah.
I'm seeing Scarlett Johansson look around like she's butt ass naked or she's a robot. Doing weird stuff. It's like, okay, is she shooting stuff? Is it like The Matrix? Is it an action movie? Is it a drama? Like you have to know how to market stuff. That's not the whole.
Well, it's also early too. There's going to be another obviously more trailers for it. Because that's not. Well, what did I say that was? March.
I think it's like March or April.
March 31st.
Yeah,
so,
and it's going to run the same. Yeah, it's going to run the same problem Aeon Flux ran through, where
you have a
complicated story. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that has Academy Award winner Charlize Theron in it, and she was a bigger star when that came out than Scarlett.
Wasn't that right after Monster came out? Or
it was. Yeah,
yeah.
It's right around after that time, and it's kind of like
that works.
It's when you take a complicated story and you try to dumb it down. Then you just have a dumbass movie. And that's what happened with that one. And Aeon Flux is way more straightforward than Ghost in the Shell, and Aeon Flux isn't necessarily straightforward. So, yeah.
There was something else we missed too. Oh, you said Baywatch. What else was there? Mm-hmm. Chips. I didn't even know that was coming out.
I didn't know either.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So The Rock is going to be busy doing his normal two movies because he does Baywatch and then he does Jumanji at the end of the year. So an R-rated Baywatch.
Jumanji?
No, because it's kind of like the same time as Star Wars and
week after yeah.
Pitch Perfect 3 and everything else. It's funny. I would have never thought an R-rated Baywatch comp like. Yeah, like, I know R-rated comedies are the thing now, but who thought of that? Like, an R-rated Baywatch as a comedy, if you're going to do a movie.
Well, but if you look at it, that's what they did with 21 Jump Street.
Yeah,
that's what they tried to do with all that stuff. So it kind of made sense in that aspect.
Well, you can see it with 21 Jump Street because they're cops. I mean, I can see the – I guess, like, if you make it – because Baywatch was always, like, it wasn't a comedy. It was just I don't know. I'm going to see it because it's The Rock, and it looks funny. And I think it being R-rated and giving some edge to it probably works. But it's funny kind of – that's – yeah. The Rock is a busy man. And he's doing stuff like people are like, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do Jumanji, and then I'm going to do San Andreas 2. And then eventually I'll do Shazam, and I'm going to do Rampage, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Like, basically, we can't get a G.I. Joe 3 or we can't do a G.I. Joe 3 or a Rundown 2 because The Rock's too busy.
So wait a minute. I just didn't notice our time. What are your top five? What are your top five that aren't – or top four? Because we already know John Wick's in there.
Okay, so I have John Wick – probably Guardians, that's Kingsman, Golden Circle. Ooh, I can't decide.
Yeah, tough, huh?
Yeah. It's so, like, I can't decide on the four because there's so many stuff. Like, you got Spider-Man, you got Wonder Woman, you know, Star Wars. Like, I can't decide on the fourth one. Like, I can decide, like, those top ones. Like, after there, you have so many choices. It's kind of like, I don't know. It's like Fast and Furious is easy. John Wick is easy. Like Guardians and Wonder Woman are both like Kingsman and all that. Yeah, those would be my five.
What was the worst movie you saw this year? Because you went. The only thing I remembered was you mentioned something about The Rock and being an R-rated movie and this and that. And to give you a chance to think about it, that Dirty Grandpa. With Zac Efron, is that his name?
Yeah, and Robert De Niro.
That was utter trash. There was nothing to it. Was the whole point of the movie was to say fuck as many times as possible to make sure it's like, look, we're edgy and dirty. Like, I swear, obviously, but even I was going, what are they doing? Like, why are they swearing so much? This doesn't make any sense to me. It was contrived, and it couldn't make up its mind whether it was absurd or if it was supposed to be touching or funny or dry. I was like, I don't know why I'm still watching this movie. That movie was awful. And so when it comes to, like, Baywatch, this is what triggered this. When you mentioned Baywatch, I'm hoping that it doesn't fall into the same, like, the same pratfalls that something like that does. Because, you know, watching, like, Dirty Grandpa, because it was not, I always get it confused, too, which is bad, because the Johnny Knoxville one was funny. It just seems like they, all right, we want to make these R-rated, so we're going to overcompensate almost. And that's what I'm hoping Baywatch is. And that's what I think that Chips movie is going to be. Chips is probably going to be on par with Dirty Grandpa or whatever it was. Yeah. So
I think Baywatch will be better because, one, The Rock has more heart. Two, Zac Efron does better when he's not the star. Like, he's funny when he doesn't have to carry all the weight. Like, he's a great number two comedic guy when he plays off his image of being clean cut, Mr. Six Pack, and all like that, being a doofus. It's that whole Channing Tatum thing. He doesn't have it as much as Channing Tatum. Like, he's basically like a lightweight version of Channing Tatum. The best way to describe it. So him being a second fiddle to The Rock works. And yeah, it's The Rock. Like, he's not going. He can elevate schlock to the stuff just because of the nature of who he is. And they seem to kind of be on the page of, like, we know our audience. We're going to have fun with stuff. And, like, they got plenty. I bet it's going to be way more eye candy in Baywatch than it was in Dirty Grandpa. Yeah.
And I'm not a fool to think that Baywatch was highbrow anyways. So if it's bad, okay. I mean, Baywatch, you know, wasn't the greatest, but, you know. So anyways.
But even then, it's kind of like, since Fast Five, I don't think The Rock has made a movie where I've had to struggle to watch.
No, I can't
like,
say that.
Even like goofy stuff, like San Andreas is a goofy-ass movie. Every time it comes on HBO, I watch it. Like, because it's fun, and we both talked about it. Like, he makes fun. He's likable. He has that thing that, and he's probably has, you know, when they talk about Q ratings, he probably has like the highest one, like in anybody in Hollywood. Like, he's likable. He's, people want to root for him. They want to watch his stuff. They want him to succeed. And normally you would think like you hate his guts because it's kind of like he looks the way he looks. He's rich. He's famous. But he's so just infectious. It's like people don't like The Rock. People, I don't want to be around. It's basically like, something's wrong with you. Like, what's wrong with you? Like, how can you not like The Rock? So him just being, until he's in a movie where I can't stand, I'm always giving the benefit of the doubt. So he's wrong. Like, and he hasn't had one yet because he made Kevin Hart tolerable to me. And, yeah, I didn't think that was possible. So,
so what's your worst?
Movie theater, I told you it was probably Tarzan Collateral Beauty.
True.
I'm lucky where I haven't seen a lot of bad movies because it's enough stuff where you get to read things and you kind of skip it. And I don't count Netflix stuff because it's Netflix. Like, that's easy. Like, I just watch some Netflix. I'm watching a Netflix movie now. It's on Netflix. It was like a DirecTV thing before with Jackie Chan and Johnny Knoxville. So, which is decent, surprisingly. I can really think of, like, I haven't seen a lot of movies that I didn't like unless my wife dragged me to. And I don't think she dragged me to anything that I just hated beside Collateral Beauty. So, yeah. So that was it. Like, like last year I would have been more awesome. Like, this year, no. Most of the movies I saw were good, or I like, even like Suicide Squad, it was okay. I didn't hate it. It wasn't like I loved it, but like I watched it and I didn't feel bad buying a movie ticket for it. Like, it wasn't any movies where I was like, I wasted money seeing this. And for the most part, I kind of avoid that. Like, you got the internet. Unless you like somebody and you just seen it for benefit of doubt, you kind of get an idea, like, I can watch or skip. Like, Independence Day, I was going to go see it, so I heard the reviews, and I'm like, I can wait. So,
yeah.
Like, it's plenty of movies where it's like Warcraft, Assassin's, like, maybe back in the day, it would have been like Warcraft or Assassin's Creed because I wouldn't have known or read the internet and saw it like basically like the Matrix Revolutions where I went on that because it's the Matrix and I'm sitting there like, this is trash. Like the third one, because even the second one, like the second one's not as good as the first one. The second one's still a good movie. That third one is just, and I saw it when it first came out and everybody was excited to see it and people in the movie theater and we just looking around like, you just had this vibe, like you got suckered. And yeah, it's been a long time since I've been in a movie theater where I had that feeling like you got suckered into seeing something that you thought was good that was trash. I think the internet kind of avoids you from falling into that trap for the most part.
For the most part, yeah. So, all right. And yeah, we've been going, let me see, what's our actual recording time?
Yeah. 1 hour and 25 minutes. We can wrap it up.
Yes, we'll wrap it up this time. I think, well, especially with no shows, and even Lucha going, was it 2 weeks away? Going into their mid-season break, because, you know, going to mid-season break when none of the other shows are on. Okay. We got no shows, so maybe next week we'll talk about some TV. See if we did that, or whatever. We'll figure it out, because it's almost ramping up for movie time.
I'll be going to movie theaters this weekend to see Underworld, so I'll be, we can talk about that on the show. Shout out to Kate Beckinsale, probably the most underrated actress running around today for various reasons. No, it's funny because somebody, I think it was like The Ringer, did an article about her saying she's one of the few actresses that has her own original action franchise, and she's actually been in like great, like Rotten Tomato movies that's like, you know, nominated. But no one, it's kind of like Kate Beckinsale is kind of like, if she was gone, nobody would miss her. But she does a lot of stuff, and she's been around for a long ass time. So it's funny thinking like, I was trying to think of like the wrestling equivalent of her, and I couldn't think of one. Like somebody So, but yeah, so I'll be seeing her because I'm a fan of Underworld. I'm down for cheesy action movies and her running around skin tight leather. So sue me, I'm a man.
Yeah, I've asked the wife if she's into those movies. I never really have been, and I asked her if she wanted to see it, and she's not interested at all. So I was kind of surprised, but oh well. But that's for next week. So I'm gonna get out of here. I'm now on to. Oh yeah, I didn't talk about Christmas because you're pagan, so you don't celebrate it.
I got gifts. Speak for yourself.
Wait a minute. Okay, sorry guys. This show's gonna continue. We had this conversation last year where I didn't understand how you didn't do Christmas because of the Santa Claus aspect of it. So wait a minute. Are you telling me?
I got gifts last year too.
No.
Here's the thing.
I was for all people, happy. I was like, "Wow, no, I got through to somebody."
No, for people who don't understand, like, you know, I'm Muslim, but my wife's Christian. She celebrates Christmas. I'm not a tyrant, so that's fine. She wants to do Christmas, we do Christmas. I get her Christmas gifts. If I put up a Santa Claus or anything like that, like whatever makes her happy, it doesn't bother me one bit. But the compromise is, if I'm getting her a Christmas gift, she has to get me a Christmas gift. So yes. Mm-hmm. Ho, ho, ho.
Oh, I get, nicely played. That makes a lot Christmas of sense.
Gifts. Yes, and I've gotten nice Christmas gifts. I think like 2 years ago, I got a subwoofer.
Oh, so, yeah,
like,
no that, shit. Okay, yeah.
That one that she was able to sit on and still have space. Yes, Merry Christmas to me. This year, I got a brand new stainless steel barbell and some weights. Merry All Christmas.
Right. Well,
keep up the...
Well, I don't know if you've seen them, the Walking Dead compendium books. They collect 48 issues of the comics each.
Mm-hmm.
Elise got me the first one, and then, wait, I thought I finished book two. Yeah, okay. And then, you know what? It's really good. I'm not going to put it down. They're really good. I can see how this turned into a TV show that's so popular. But then she also got me, like, video games. I was like, all this stuff that makes me sit around. So it helped, you know, when I was sick. But I got those VR goggles you see on the commercials. Mm-hmm. You know, you plug your phone in. Those things are way cool. The commercials make it seem like it's the coolest thing on the face of the earth. It may not be that, but damn, they are fun. And being this first-gen first-gen technology for it, next year's models, whatever they come out with, man, we are on the cusp of something crazy.
Yep.
And she's got me videos of me reacting to stuff, and everybody I've let play with it has said the exact same thing, that, yeah, this is way cooler than expected. Like, there's one for, it's for Discovery Network. They have an app on it. And basically, they set up all their cameras out in the wild, whatever else. So you're just sitting there, and you're looking around and there's nothing going on. And I'm like, well, this is boring as hell. And all of a sudden you see these two little lion ears pop up outside of like some grass. And I'm like, uh-oh. I'm like, wait a minute, am I going to get attacked here? And it's the most disorienting feeling because you're conscious of your body's movements, like my physical body. So if, you know, if you see something come up and you want to put your hands up, like, oh, no. In reality, your hands are up. You don't see them. So when this tiger, there's two different ones. There was a tiger and lion's one. When the lion pops up, it's just staring at you. And I'm like, ah, okay. It's just going to be one of these things. Well, then you hear, like, there's a little crunching off to the side. You turn your head, and there's a bunch of lions, like, chewing on, like, a wildebeest or something. And when you turn back, the lion's, like, almost in front of you. But if you wouldn't have turned your head, you would have seen the lion come up. It's the most disorienting thing. And then the damn thing attacks you and, like, bites the camera. And it, you know, you recoil because it's that realistic. And this is the first gen of the stuff. I can't imagine, like, I can't, they've got what, those Oculus Rift, which is actually what those goggles are. It runs off the same technology, but it's just off your phone instead of, like, you know, a big program, or a big built-in program. And now I saw they have, like, a PlayStation VR. I'm not going to say, and we're not on the cusp of, like, these movie things, but, man, we're close.
It's amazing, like, for me and you, we're on that age where we can remember when a cell phone was a big deal.
Yes.
And now it's kind of like, that's, people don't have an understanding, like, how much it's changed. Not just, like, technology, how it changes society, like, how you interact with people. Like, and quick story before we go, and I make fun of it all the time, and I actually stopped doing it. I went out one time with a group of people, and it's brunch, and it's like 75 degrees. It's a beautiful day. Everybody hustle and bustle. And I'm sitting at the table. It's like five or six people, and everybody is looking down their phone. Nobody's looking at each other, and it's kind of like, and I look at tables, and I took a picture. I'm like, I took a picture of them and posted it, and then they saw it. I'm like, this is how you look. And then I look around. Everybody's doing it, and you know, you have the new, it's kind of like, I don't know, like, it makes things a lot easier in some cases, but it leads you down, it's changed things, not always for the better. And I don't want to be those whole, like, get off my lawn, I miss the good old days, because I don't miss the good old days, when people didn't know anything. But I think now just makes it where you don't appreciate stuff. Like, me and you, like, we're nerds. It took pride. We memorized, like, movie grosses when movies came out, who's and this and that. My wife makes fun of me all the time. Like, how do you know this stuff off the top of your head? It's like, I'm just used to having a memory to know this. Now it's like, you don't got to know anything. I can just look it up. And if it's on a website, it may be the truth. It may not be the truth. But if it's there, I'll go with it.
I've noticed that a lot with wrestling stuff, like not having to remember stuff. Like, Eric and Dusty are encyclopedias of this stuff. And now I'm like, I forget. I can't remember half of last year's WrestleMania results. Yeah. So,
like, I used to be. Like, I used to be able to know, like, every world champion from, like, 80 to, like, 2000, 2001. Like, off the top of my head. Like, I just had it memorized. Now, it's like, even, like, why don't even memorize that nonsense? It's funny, when you can look up stuff, you don't have to learn anything.
Yeah. It's a dangerous thing, too. Because it's old man talk. You do need to remember. And anyways, let's get out of here. Thanks for listening, guys. We will be back next week. And, so take that in. I'll let Shahid take us out.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdulhadi, and open up a damn book, you damn millennials. We are out.